right. I don't know how to say this other than the way I'm going to say this.
Say
we're
it.
Coming off of a Father's Day weekend, and there are fathers out there in your life. Perhaps your husband is a father. Perhaps your grandfather's still around. Perhaps your brother is a father. But some of us don't have fathers. And I read Mary Schmeek's column over the weekend. Mary Schmeek joining us right now from the Chicago Tribune. It was very touching.
Thank you, Wendy.
And you even said you got more response to this column than anything in years. And why do you think that is?
I think it's because so many of us have lost our fathers.
Yeah.
And that there is a communal experience for those of us who are fortunate enough to outlive our parents. You know, this is one of the great shared experiences.
It does bring everyone together. When your father dies, how would you finish that sentence?
Right. So, I mean, what prompted this column was a father of a colleague of mine died last week, and it sent me looking for a poem that I love. It's the best poem I have ever found about the loss, the death of a father. It's called Shifting the Sun. It's by an Armenian-American poet, and it starts off, "When your father dies, the Irish say, you lose your umbrella against bad weather." And then it goes on to talk about all the different ways that different cultures frame the loss of a father.
Mm-hmm.
When you lose your, when your father dies, say the Russians, he takes your childhood with him. So that phrase, "when your father dies," just got into my head. You know, it's got a great cadence. And so I just started writing down what came to my mind when I hear "when your father dies." Can I read a few
please
graphs yeah of it?
Yeah.
So again, this is with apologies and appreciation to Diana Derhovenesian, who wrote the poem. When your father dies, it doesn't matter that other people's fathers have died. The fathers have been dying since human time was born. What matters in the moment of his death is that he was your father, your one and only. Your loss is unique, profound, yours alone. When your father dies, people say many things to you, much of it the same thing. Sorry for your loss. Condolences. May he rest in peace. You will not remember words. You will remember kindness. When your father dies, if you weren't there with him, you will carry that knowledge forever like a permanent hole in your pocket. You will get used to it, but you'll always know it's there. When your father dies, even if you were with him, you will think of all the things you meant to say, to ask, things you may have said and asked a million times, but you'll want to say them just once more. Thank you. Sorry. Why? What? When? Who exactly are you? Shall I keep going?
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
When your father dies, you will remember that time, maybe more than one, that he made you so mad. When your father dies, you will learn. You will worry about your mother, who, you are likely to learn, is more resilient than you gave her credit for. This assumes she's the one left behind, as mothers so often are. And when your father's gone, you'll see your mother from a different angle. You'll see more clearly how your father helped her, hurt her, made her less and more than she would have been without him. You will see more clearly her power over him. When your father dies, the small particulars of his life, the kind you barely noticed when he was alive, grow into revelations. The smell of his aftershave, the style of his boxer shorts, how neatly he arranged his loose change on his bureau before he said his prayers at night. When your father dies, even if he was grand, you realize how small he was, how human. When your father dies, you will become more intrigued by the life he built from the childhood he was given. When your father dies, you have to adjust your place in the world, in your family, your sense of who you are performing for. You wonder if you can. You can. When your father dies, you discover how others, say your brothers and sisters, saw him differently. When your father dies, you start to know him better. Oh, you think a long time later, now I get it. When your father dies, you take to noticing how much you like him. It's not all good, but it's how you keep him with you. When your father dies, you wonder what he would be like if he'd lived longer, what he would think if he could see you now. You hope he would be proud. When your father dies, you will grieve, and then, one day, you'll notice your grief has dried up. You may spend weeks with no conscious thought of the man who was once at the center of your universe. You will be relieved, and your relief may feel like betrayal. But every now and then, when the sky is a certain shade of blue, or you spot a man with a familiar build on the street, or you hear the chatter of a ball game on the radio, you will feel a knot in your chest. And to no one in particular, you'll say, "Dad."
That is so touching, and there are a million people crying right now as they're in their cars listening to this. And I have to say one thing. When you talk about how you never realized your mom was so resilient, you don't realize a lot of things until you become an adult, and especially you have children of your own. That's when you realize how much your parents sacrificed
for
you.
Well, you lost your dad early, which means that your mother lost her husband very early. Yeah.
And, you know, you don't, and then you think, boy, my mom really had it tough with three kids being a single mom. And you don't realize that till you have kids of your own and you try and give them the best, but you can't always. But it really opens your eyes to things. That was so eloquent and so beautiful.
Really beautiful.
So, Bill, your dad is still alive, right?
Yeah.
One of the few in your cohort, in our cohort.
Yeah, it's so strange. Whenever we get together with friends, the stories about parents are so in the past because I don't know how this happened. It's weird. I mean, I understand how the life cycle plays out, but almost everybody in our circles of friends have lost their parents. My wife and Terry has said the same thing you have said, Wendy, is at some point you realize, and you're through this too, Mary, you're an orphan. I know that's strange because you're an adult, but when you go, wow, the two people responsible for me being here aren't here anymore, that's hard to imagine, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the moment you grow up. Completely. I mean, you know, I'm always shocked by people my age who still have both parents.
Yeah.
And even though they're fully functioning adults in the world, I don't mean to minimize that. I'm also aware that on some level they are still children. You know, that they still identify as children to living people, that they have to or like to or do offer up that deference, that deference. You know, that just to be deep into middle age and still have both parents is a remarkable thing that people who have both parents don't fully grasp,
right.
I think.
Right.
All right. We have a call here. Donna wants to talk. Hi, Donna.
Hi. I was just listening. I love that poem, but it's hard when your father dies. I was 9 when my dad died, and he came back from World War II with traumatic stress disorder, and he was just a mess. He was an alcoholic, and
poor guy.
I literally have about 5 memories of my dad because I don't know where he was all the time. I mean, and all my memories are of us in bars. He would take us to the bars. And, I feel really bad for him now. I mean, I get it now.
Donna, can I ask really quick, are any of the memories happy memories or are they all sad and tragic memories?
Most of them are sad, yeah.
But you got him at a bad time. You know what I mean? Like, my dad died when I was 10. He was a childhood diabetic. I just remember him being sick a lot. That's really all I remember. There were a couple things that I remember that are good, but we didn't get him at a good time.
Right.
You know?
I just remember my dad being drunk a lot. And, I mean, he was, I don't know. I remember him being in the closets of our houses. He was scared. Like when planes would fly over.
Poor guy.
Yeah, I think a lot more men came back traumatized from World War II than our grand mythology of World War II has ever allowed us to recognize collectively.
Right.
Agreed.
Yeah, Father's Day always sucks for me. I hate it. And then I lost my husband 11 years ago, and so it's doubly hard for me.
That is difficult, right? Although something that Mary Schmeek said, it's like, you know, you are supposed to grieve and you do grieve, but one day you didn't grieve and you almost feel guilty for not grieving, but that just means that life goes on. That's a very important part of it.
That's true. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Well, sorry for everything that's happened to you, and thank you for sharing with us, Donna, and you don't have to worry about Father's Day till next year now.
Right. Thank you
for calling.
Thanks, Donna. Let's take a quick break. More with Mary Schmeek. And if you want to jump in on the conversation, about losing a father the day after Father's Day. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, we are. It's Bill Leffen. Sorry, Bill. That's you were right. Talking to Mary Schmeek, and yeah. I hurriedly
she
got
she granted
you.
An audience with me, so it was nice. Mary just read you. Is that officially a poem? How would you classify it, Mary?
No, it's just a column.
A column.
Just, you know, it's me riffing on a phrase that I found in one of my favorite poems.
Those are your words.
Those are my
yes.
words, but
beautiful.
Based on this poem, "Shifting the Sun" by Diana de Hovhaniemi, and I think that's how you say her name.
So beautiful. A lot of people want to chime in. We're at 312-981-7200.
All right. Hi, Adrian.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just also wanted to add my thoughts and appreciation for that really
beautiful,
very, very touching salute to fathers. I read it on Sunday, of course, with tears. My husband died about 9 years ago, and my three children will appreciate it very much. I'm scanning it and sending it to all three of them.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you.
I also lost my father when I was 10. He went to work one morning and never came back, had a heart attack and was gone. And so that also rang true for me. Now, as I am an adult, pondering all those questions about my father and what it would have been like had he lived. But I just wanted to say thank you very, very much. It was very touching and so appropriate.
Thank you for saying that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, Adrian. And Dawn wants to jump in on this, too. Hey, Dawn, Mary Schmeek.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, love the poem. Absolutely love the poem. And what I wanted to say was that just hope for people out there who just lost their dad. My dad's been gone about 15 years. And in the last 2 years, it seems like Father's Day's kind of taken on a new meaning for me. And that it's a celebration of who he was and what his life was like and all the people that he touched. You know, and there are definitely those moments, like this year with the Cubs doing so well. Oh my gosh, I think of my dad all the time because he was such a huge Cubs fan.
I've heard so many Chicagoans who've lost their fathers say that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and you know, in the fall when the farmers go back into the fields, I think of my dad. And but the grief has changed to more joy. And so I know people, you know, that just lost their dads in the last few years. It takes a while, but like that poem said, it does change. And so, yeah, I just wanted to say that.
All right. And just to clarify, the poem were there were a few lines of a poem you read, and then the rest of that little fatherly tribute was your own thoughts, Mary.
Yeah, everything correct? I read on the radio were my thoughts, yeah.
Thank you, Dawn, and continued loving memories of your father.
Thank you. I listen to your show every day. This is so exciting.
Oh, thank you, Dawn.
Thanks, Dawn.
You're so nice. Kind of building on something Dawn just said, there's something that I experienced with my mom that I think probably transfers to dads as well. I always, in my head, called it empty chair syndrome, where on Christmas or her birthday or Mother's Day or certain key days, even though the family is gathered together, I look and see the chair that she would have been sitting in. And the first few were impossible for me. The first few Christmases were miserable, and Mother's Days too. But then at some point, I don't know if I'm playing a trick on myself or what, but it does become more of a tribute and happy memories instead of just she should be there and she's not there anymore.
Right. I mean, you know, people grieve differently. They grieve on different schedules. So you never want to tell people, you know, what should happen. But I do think that for most people, that's what happens.
Yeah.
It takes a little while, but
whenever you lose someone you love, it really feels like there's a hole in your heart. You're feeling it right in your chest, and that hole fills up with some really happy memories, and it becomes complete again. And I think that's what happens. And everybody has their own time in which they do it, as Mary mentioned. We have time for one more call. Chris, in response to Mary Schmeek's column?
Yes, good morning. I happen to be running upstairs from doing laundry and running to let the dogs out, and I hear when you lose your father, and I stopped in my tracks and started to sob listening to it. I lost my dad 25 years ago. He was 53 at the time. I was 25. And talking about the way that your life changes and your place in the family and seeing my mother and how resilient she was in the face of that. Mary, you just said it all. I mean, it was amazing. The one thing in reflecting on how much I'm like him, and both my parents are gone, and I'm 50-50 right down the middle, half of each. I remember as a young girl hopping in the car and saying, "Dad, can we put on the loop, Wendy?" And my dad would have Wally Phillips on, and it was, you know, it was a struggle to get him to switch it to the loop. And now, I think I was about 38, I started listening of my own volition, you know, and now it's on in my house, in my car. You guys are always with me, and maybe that's a part of him being with me as well. But when my nieces and nephews get in the car, they're always, you know, thank goodness now they have their own headsets and iPhones so they can listen to what they want.
Otherwise, you'd be listening to B96.
Oh, my goodness. Lord help me if I had to do that. So, yeah, it's listening to all the callers. And, Bill, what you were saying about the empty chair, yeah. And Wendy, it does fill up over time. And it's moments like running upstairs from the laundry when you hear something that Mary was saying, when you just kind of lose it, and you're going to do that from
for the rest of your life.
But absolutely. I mean, the hole is still there. You know, what if he could see my nieces and nephews and, you know, the things, what kind of man he would be now. He was close to retirement and taken away so young. So it's a lot. It's food for thought. I thought yesterday about him, but I think I'll think even more about him today. In light of what I heard coming up the stairs. So
thank you, Chris.
Thank you for that.
Thanks, Chris,
for sharing, and thanks for listening.
Of course. Thank my father.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much.
All right. We need to take a break. Mary, great to see you. Well done.
Wonderful to see you.
You should be doing books on tape, by the way. That was such a beautiful, not just writing, but reading of it as well. Read Mary Schmeek in the Chicago Tribune. We'll take a quick break and find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.